We turn to the passage we read in the first epistle of John, chapter 4, and we shall read again verses 7 and 8. 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Amen. The theme of love is one that seemed to have occupied the mind as well as the heart of the Apostle John. And no wonder when we learn of him there in the upper room with the Lord and the other disciples, and John is leaning upon Christ's bosom. The closeness to the Lord and the Lord to him, as all the other disciples, those who had faith in Christ. And we, although we do not enjoy Christ physically present, may and do enjoy his spiritual presence and the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. To know Christ and in Christ the love of God, it is a blessed thing and a foretaste of what is to come for the Lord's people. We wish then to consider what we are told by John in this text concerning the love of God. We shall consider the text under three headings: God is love, love is of God, and then love one another. And we shall see the connection between these three. Firstly then, with God's help, to consider this: God is love. Stated by John here in verse 8, he will state it again in verse 16. And these are the only two places in Scripture where we find this expression: God is love. Three simple words in English, and yet what a wealth there is here. What great deeps there are here. Because God is love. Now, it doesn't say love is God. That's how many today seem to view things. They exalt love, whatever conception they have of it. They make an idol of it. It's everything, even though it may be some debased form of love. No, God is love. And John is saying that's the nature of God. That's the character of his being. That is an attribute of God. In the Catechism, and we're told that God is good. That's the attribute there. And love is an aspect of the goodness of God. And love is connected with God in such a way that we're given an insight into what love is. God is eternal. And his love is therefore eternal. Love has ever existed in the Godhead between the three divine persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. The Blessed Trinity. You see, love involves both giving and receiving. To love another person and to give your love to that person, and to be loved by that person, to receive love from that person. And there you have the Trinity, three eternal persons, each one perfect, and a communion, a fellowship of love. And God eternally blessed in himself. God perfectly satisfied in himself, not standing in need of any other. One God, but three persons. A vital truth. Other religions believe in one God. And the Muslim believes that. The Jew believes that. But only the Christian has a right understanding of God as he has revealed himself, not simply in creation, but in the Scriptures. And there, if you search the Scriptures, Old Testament, but especially the New Testament, you find the Trinity. Three persons, the same in substance, equal power and glory. And they love one another. The Father, the Son, and the Son, the Father, both the Holy Spirit and the Spirit then. God eternally blessed, because God is love in himself. And many exalt this attribute of God to the extent that other attributes are set aside. That must never be done. When you think of the love of God, you must understand it to be there with the other attributes in God, and no conflict, no contradiction between the attributes. So there's no conflict between the love of God and the holiness of God, the righteousness or justice of God. So when God reveals his love, as he has done wondrously in Jesus Christ, you see how his holiness and his justice are upheld in the way in which he's revealed that love and in the way in which that love is brought to his people. No conflict, no contradiction between the love of God and the power of God, the wisdom of God, the truth of God. One glorious being. And God is his attributes. And he is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his attributes and in his love. Well then, do we read that God is love? He is the definition of it. And from him there is the revelation of it. And if we would know what love is, love of the highest kind, the most perfect kind, then we must consider God. God has spoken. And do we hear? Do we learn? Everyone will have his or her idea of love. But to go to God and to comprehend that God is love, we will never fully comprehend it. But to grasp it in some measure and to understand thereby what love is. Giving and receiving. The giving of love, the receiving of love. And thereby a friendship and a fellowship. And in the Trinity, of course, it is between three divine persons. They are equal. But the love that we are interested in, as poor sinners, the love that God has for his people is a love from the Almighty, the ever-blessed God, to those who are by no means his equal. Nothing like. Wretched, guilty, hell-deserving creatures. And yet the truth that God is love has relevance to us. Because God has found a way whereby he can reveal and communicate his love to his creatures. Not simply in the way of doing good unto them. God is good unto all. He provides for the needs of all his creatures. That's his providence. No, God has revealed his love, the love that he has within himself as Father, Son, and Spirit to sinners of mankind. So they are blessed and blessed eternally in this love of God. It is wonderful to think of God in terms of this attribute. Because heaven, God's dwelling place, is indeed a world of love. And all who are there, sinners who go there at the end of their days here, because God has met with them and blessed them, they enter into a world of perfect love. Not entirely new to them, because in this world, under the gospel, they came to know the love of God. But there, in glory, it's enjoyed to the full, as much as a finite creature can contain and experience and know and rejoice in the love of the infinite God. God is love. But then secondly, love is of God. You have that in verse 7. For love is of God. And John is moving there to the truth that we have hinted at already. That God, self-existent and self-sufficient, blessed forever in himself, has made himself known. It pleased him to create, to make the universe, to fashion it, and to make man his final creation, and a unique creature, because there is a likeness in man to God, the image of God, a spiritual resemblance. Now that is how it was with our first parents. When they were still upright, when they were walking with God, they knew the love of God. He dwelt with them. He afforded them fellowship with himself. But you know that sin came in. There's a mystery there, but it is revealed to us. And it explains, does it not, the state of our world, the darkness of our world. And that darkness is expressed in what men do one to another. How there is no concord, there's no harmony, there's bitterness, there's envy, there's all manner of inhumanity one to another. And we need to know that that is in this world because there is no longer that friendship and fellowship with God that man had in the beginning. The paradise is gone. The Bible speaks of this present evil world, a world appointed to destruction, a world that lies in the wicked one, Satan. a broken relation between man and God. And the fault is entirely on man's part. And if God was to leave man as he has become, a sinful creature, a corrupt creature, oh, then the misery and the woe enduring forever, because man is lost. Man does not know in his soul any fulfillment, any contentment. And he cannot, because man was made for God, to enjoy God. And if he does not have that as his purpose in life, he cannot be happy. He is not blessed. But God did not so leave man. Oh, we read in this very chapter of the love of God coming into this world. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, us sinners, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Love is of God. He's the source of it. It flows from him. It has entered our world in the coming of his only begotten Son. God did not spare his own Son. He delivered him up for us all. So the Son came, and the Son revealed the love of God in his suffering and dying. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation, it testifies to the sufferings of Christ. Christ, by his obedience unto death, turned away the wrath of God from his people. He satisfied God's justice. He paid the price for the sins of his own. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. The initiative is God's. It's all of his kindness, and it's only found in man. Love, true love, the love of which John is speaking, it's only found in man by divine grace. Christ has revealed it. The Spirit communicates it to sinners who are dead in their sin. He came that we might live through him. And we find that in our text. Love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Well, how do we come to know the love of God? Through the new birth. Through that quickening power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes from Christ to bring the benefits of the redeeming work of Christ to those for whom he died. And he raises them up from the grave of their sin. And he unites them to Christ. That is how we know the love of God. His love for us. It has now come to us. And that is how we have anything of love in us. We find that again in our chapter. We love him, says John, because he first loved us, verse 19. Again, a few brief words, and they are saying so much. Why do we ever love God? We ought to love him, because he is lovely. Jesus Christ is altogether lovely. But as we read in Isaiah chapter 53, that's not how we are. He's despised and rejected of men. We see nothing in Christ. No beauty, no form, comeliness, nothing desirable there. The one who was crucified at Calvary. We turn away our faces. We turn our backs. That is our sinful folly. But when the Spirit of God enters the soul, then there's a turning about. And we look upward, and we look upon Christ crucified. And we are tasting the love of God. And the heart is softened, and the affections are drawn heavenward. There's that melting within. Even the knowledge of the love of God in Christ, and flowing from the renewed soul, love to God, who first loved us. John makes the connection. Love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He goes on to say, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. We love the God we know. You normally do have an affection for someone because you know them. You've never met them, never been in their company. You cannot really have an affection toward them, a love for them. Have we not met God? Or rather, has not God met with us? Revealed himself to us in the Saviour. A life-changing meeting. And knowing God as he has revealed himself in Christ. Or then, we love him. We cannot but do that. In God, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption. This is the love of God. This is the giving of God in redemption. The Son giving himself to the death of the cross, willingly, freely, not holding anything back. And that is infinite love. Even though it would be for but one sinner. Infinite love. Of course, there is a great multitude. The church. The body of Christ. All are loved by God. Christ died for them, each one. The Spirit regenerates them, each one. And they know God. But do you not desire to know him more and more? And better? To acquaint yourself with him? That is the Christian life, is it not? Already in this world. Why do we read the scriptures? Because there we meet God. There we learn of his character. We learn of his mighty works, and especially of the work of Christ to take away our sin. And in that we see the love of our God. And it is a covenant love. God has pledged himself to his people. He has promised them all good in Christ, and they shall have it, even grace and glory. It's not a bare knowledge, just a knowledge of certain facts. Many have that, and they will profess on that ground their belief in God, their faith in God. But do we know God? Is there friendship, fellowship? Is it personal? That is the great thing. And it must be personal knowledge of the divine persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, the one God, the God of all grace and mercy and love. God is love. Love is of God. And then thirdly and finally, love one another. You see, on the basis of these things, John is giving a commandment, an exhortation. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. God is love. To love one another is to fulfill the law. Firstly, loving God. He must come first. And we are to love God with all our heart, and with all our soul, and with all our strength, and with all our mind. But we are also to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the motivation. It's a duty, but it must be carried out in love. And that love is in us by the Spirit of God. And that love must flow from our hearts, even in the performance of this duty. There is a special love that believers are to have for those who belong to the household of faith. Those who belong to God himself, his sons, his daughters. Beloved, let us love one another as brethren. We read in the New Testament of such a love. Let brotherly love continue. And this brotherly love is within the fellowship of the church. And we're told indeed in chapter 5 that there is a link between this love and being born again. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So if we say that the Lord has blessed us with a new heart and a new spirit, we are born again. Well, let the evidence of that include this, that we love our fellow Christians, that we enjoy fellowship with them, that we, being of like precious faith, have that bond evident to ourselves and to the world, this bond of love. Now, Christ is the pattern. He always is. What it is to love the brethren. Christ loved the disciples. You have that in John, the account of the upper room. John chapter 13, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And what did Christ do to show that love for them in the upper room the night before he was crucified? Well, one thing he did was a very practical thing. He washed the disciples' feet. Something a servant would do. Well, Christ was serving them. Serving them in love. But he was doing so in order to teach them what they ought to do one for another. This is how you love one another. By being willing to do simple, practical things for your brethren. Helping them in their need. Not overlooking such a thing. Not just wishing them well. But where you're able to perform the deed. Doing it without any murmuring or complaining. Doing it joyfully. Christ, of course, showed the love of God, what it is for us to love one another, by the whole of his public ministry. He went about doing good. And in those words you get the sense that Christ deliberately went from place to place. Places where he had not been previously, in order to do that good to others. All too easy for us to confine ourselves to our own homes, our own families. Well, to think of the congregation, to think of others in the community, to make sure that our love extends that far, especially to the people of God, fellow believers, whom we know and who may be in need of that support and that comfort and that encouragement, which are the fruits of love, brotherly love, in the Lord's people, one to another. And in this way, the fellowship of the saints is built up. And it is a blessed fellowship. We have, of course, in 1 Corinthians and chapter 13, an exposition of love under the term charity. And just to mention very briefly one or two of the evidences and the manifestations of charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Long-suffering. Patiently enduring. Bearing perhaps with wrongs, because charity is kind. It willingly overlooks faults. Love covers a multitude of sins. Charity envieth not. My dear friends, if we know the love of God in Christ, we are so richly blessed, and as a result should be so humbled, that there's no envy in us. We're content. Content with the Lord. He is everything to us. Why then should we look at the world, or even other Christians, and what they have? We do not need these things if we know the love of God. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. The love that should be in our hearts, even as the love of God is known by us, is a love that does not lead to the exaltation of the individual, or the puffing up of the individual. You do not see that in Christ. Christ, who entered into humiliation, Christ who did the Father's will, Christ who sacrificed himself for his people. And we should be like that, selfless, and putting the needs of others before our own needs. Charity never faileth. It's always there. It should always be expressed in word and deed, in serving the Lord by serving his people. God is love. Love is of God. And love one another. May God grant us grace that it be so with us. May he bless his word. Let us pray. O Lord God, we are thankful for every reminder we have of thy love in our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. May we experience it more and more, and may it have a sanctifying effect upon us, and an enlivening effect, that we, as the followers of Christ, serve as he did, and manifest a love to others, and especially to thine own people. Watch over us all, and enable us to keep our hearts with all diligence, knowing that out of the heart are the issues of life. Bless us each one, and pardon our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.